And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hello, and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show, live on YouTube or on your podcast player. I am Dave DeFord, joined by Mo DeKeel for a little nerder version. 7-8 play-in games, Mo. We got to jump right in because this was ugly basketball, especially the late game. The Lakers and the Minnesota Timberwolves, their 19th game this season where they've blown a 10 or more point lead in a loss in overtime. And Mo, this is this typical Timberwolves down the stretch. They just fell apart.
Oh, I mean, they absolutely did. But just, Dave, nobody won this game. Nobody won this game.
We all lost.
We all lost at the end of the day. Nobody won this game. But, yeah, the Wolves really had a chance. They looked really good in the first half, despite the fact that Anthony Edwards was having a really terrible game. Mike Connolly was awesome. Karl Anthony Towns was really good. And he looked like he was really in control in that first half. They put up 60 points. They looked solid. They brought back, you know, they came back. You know, the Lakers gave them a big punch in the second quarter. They withstood it and made a run. Like, I was very impressed with them. And then the second half happened.
Well, let's start at the beginning of the game, because I actually thought the first possession of the game highlighted Rudy Gobert's absence. The Lakers got four shots on the opening possession. And so right away, you know, hey, look, they're playing big inside. They're going to attack the glass. And no Gobert certainly was going to hurt the Timberwolves all night. But then Karl Anthony Towns stepped up. He had 9 points in that first quarter, was 4-4, was very aggressive. And the Wolves overall, 5 of 9 from three in that quarter, just shot the lights out. But it started with Karl Anthony Towns. He had a great game, as you mentioned, finishes up with 24 points, a game high plus 19. On the game in 41 minutes. It was those other 7 minutes. And frankly, Mo, the game shifted when he got into foul trouble. It happened in the first half. He picked up two fouls. He picked up that third early in the second half. And then once he drew that fourth foul, the what I thought was an offensive foul on LeBron, leading with the elbow, they hand him the fourth foul. He leaves the game, comes back, and then just immediately picks up the fifth foul in the fourth.
It was a dumb fifth foul to pick up, right? And you're right. The fourth foul was really the one that was like, what are we doing here with this foul call? But as soon as he picked up that fifth foul, it's just like, come on, man. Like, this is just, you have to be smarter than that if you're Karl Anthony Towns. But the one thing we've known, Dave, is he's not that smart. The emotions get the best of him. We've seen this from him literally last year in the playoffs against Memphis, where he makes dumb fouls and things like that. Like, you often complain to me about coaches fouling out their players. With Karl Anthony Towns, Chris Finch has to foul him out because he's going to foul out. I'm shocked he didn't foul out in this one and stayed in throughout. But, like, you got to be careful with that. And you're right. As soon as he picked up the fifth foul, it was the turning point for the entire game.
Yeah, and again, the Lakers just went on runs every time he hit the bench. When he picked up those two fouls, they went on a 12-2 run. Now, when he comes back in, the Wolves closed the first half on a 14-2 run, and it looked like, okay, they weathered the storm, the early storm from the Lakers, took an 11-point lead into halftime. Third quarter was more of the same until Karl Anthony Towns went to the bench, and then it was another rough stretch for Anthony Edwards in a game that was just one of the worst I've ever seen in Mo from him. 3 of 17 from the field, 0 of 9 from 3. You know, the defense was there. He was playing defense, had 3 blocks, was all over the place, but he just looked completely flat on offense. And ultimately, that's what sunk the Timberwolves.
I mean, he flat on offense is actually a compliment to how bad he was offensively in this game. I felt like when you were watching him, it was almost like, man, what's he doing? And then just to really go beyond just Anthony Edwards, the entire Wolves offense in the fourth quarter made zero sense to me. I know they were struggling without Karl-Anthony Towns on the bench and Edwards not playing well, but there was no structure to it. There wasn't really anything that made sense that they were running offensively. They weren't attacking the right guys. You know, they're trying to put AD in the pick and roll. Like, I don't know, maybe stay away from the Lakers' best defensive player at this point. And they just kept making dumb decisions. And more importantly, they were playing so slow, Dave. It was killing me. I was screaming at the TV, going, play faster. Don't be afraid of playing in transition. You can run on this Laker team because they're not going to be a great transition defense team. And they just would not take advantage of that.
Yeah, one of our pet peeves is down the stretch, teams tend to go away from the thing that has given them success for the majority of the game. Timberwolves just completely fell apart in their half-court offense. They ran no plays, often just like weaving the ball in and out and doing nothing. A lot of late shot clock, bad looks. It was just awful offense. And credit to the Lakers. They played them tough. They were physical inside, and they forced them into 20 turnovers. Now, the Lakers also committed 20 turnovers, but they forced the Timberwolves into 20 turnovers. And ultimately, the Timberwolves shot themselves in the foot, allowed the Lakers back into this game. They scored 16 points, Mo, in the fourth quarter in overtime. Never going to get it done.
I mean, it's just absolutely dumb. The most important thing for the Lakers, what really got them going, was running off of misses in transition. Misses and turnovers. They got the ball, boom, going up the court and flying up the court. That's what got them back into this game. And I felt like that's what led for them to really just spearheaded this comeback where they were able to roll through in that sense. Even they had to play faster. There were times where I was looking at both teams going like, you guys got to play in transition because neither you are good enough in the half court. But Dave, we do have to start talking about the end of this game. That's of the fourth quarter at the very least.
Okay. It got a little nuts. Again, Cat picks up his fifth foul. Lakers go on a 7-0 run immediately. So the Lakers are right back in it. They continuously fight back. Tie ball game. Lakers have the ball, 32 seconds left. And Taurean Prince gets a steal on the inbound. He's fouled by LeBron. I don't know, Mo. It feels like, were we splitting hairs there trying to figure out if it was clear path? How did it feel to you? It felt like, to me, LeBron making a play on the ball gets the foul.
I felt like Taurean Prince did not have possession of the ball. So I don't know if you can call that a clear path foul in that sense. It's a loose ball foul. It was a foul. You can't dive at a guy's knees. And more importantly, if LeBron's really going to be upset about that, let's go rewind the tape of when he was pissed off that Solomon Hill dove at his legs. You know, and I think those are the important things there. And I think that one right there was wild. But what was crazy was just the Lakers' inability to inbound the ball, because they nearly blew this game off of that. But let's go. Let's go. It's just wild.
It was a wild game. Okay, so the ensuing possession for the Minnesota Timberwolves in a tie game, you think, okay, they've got a play set up. No, they don't. Kyle Anderson's dribbling the ball to nowhere, guarded by Anthony Davis. And by the way, Anthony Davis was fantastic in this game. We'll get to him in a minute. But he forces him to dribble it off his foot, but with very little pressure, Mo, and he dribbles the ball off his foot into a backcourt violation.
I mean, I'm sorry. Anthony Edwards was terrible, so I wouldn't want him on the ball. But Mike Conley was pretty damn good in this game. Maybe he should be running the pick and roll with Karl-Anthony Towns. And also, why are you trying to go at the switch to AD? You're trying to get AD off of Towns, but I didn't feel like this was really the smart play with what they were doing. I would have put Connolly in the action instead of Kyle Anderson in that. So it was just crazy. We went from turnover to dumb turnover after that.
Well, something we talked about quite a bit is sometimes matchup hunting can throw you out of your game plan completely. And I mean, if you're stuck end of game in a game where Mike Connolly is just on a heater, I mean, 6 of 8 from three in this game, had 23 points, and he was hitting everything, and you're sticking him in the corner. Now, that's great on a sideline out of bounds, but down the stretch, he needed to have the ball in his hands a little bit, especially because Ant didn't have it going. So you have a backcourt violation. Final possession for the Lakers leads to a Dennis Schroeder corner three to put the Lakers up three with less than 2 seconds left. Sideline out of bounds play. for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Finds Mike Conley in the corner for a three, and he gets fouled by AD.
I mean, you know what's kind of funny? It's like, this is the sort of stuff that we've seen throughout the course of the season, end of game plays where teams often are throwing it to the weak side now. Like, this has been the theme all year. So, like, you see that one, and it's wild. And Conley got a pretty good look, and AD just ran him over. Like, yeah. It was a foul. There's nothing else to say with it. It was just like, you're looking at this going like, okay, this game's over. And then they make an unbelievable pass with the good defense on the inbounder. And then you foul. It's just like, oh God, the Lakers, the Wolves tried to give it to the Lakers. The Lakers were like, no, we want you to have it. And yeah, that's how we got five more minutes of basketball.
Well, Conley stuck all three, ice in his veins. And
he barely, not ice in his vein. Cause that first free throw, we can't let him off the hook. That first free throw was a miss. And by the act of God, that ball hit the front rim and then bounced and rolled in. It was an amazing
shooter's bounce. We don't think about those. So we get to overtime where the Lakers controlled the action again. Anthony Edwards was just awful down the stretch. Continued to run nothing. They were so slow, even in overtime. I mean, these guys they've dealt with quite a bit here recently. Obviously, internal stuff, injuries. They had this weird stomach flu that was going through the team. I mean, these guys, they looked dead tired by the time they got to overtime. And all the starters played over 40 minutes. So, deservedly so. They deserve to be tired. They earned it. But they looked tired. So, let's go down to the end of overtime. Down three. With under 20 seconds left, and Mike Conley gets a steal for the Timberwolves on an inbound. We have an exciting play, passes to Anthony Edwards, who finds Taurean Prince, who's kind of open for a transition three, and he just misses a good look. And you know what? That happens. But they did fight till the end, Mo.
Oh, I thought this game was over. And then the Lakers, they once again, can't inbound the ball off a sideline out of bounds play. Just wild there. And I thought Taurean Prince's shot was going down. I don't know about you, but when went up, I was like, oh, we're going to double overtime. It was pretty insane. Just that was a possibility across the board. I mean, the Lakers got away with one in this one. They were not very good. Could not shoot it well from three. The defense got better. They got going a little bit, forced the turnovers and pushed in transition. But man, this was a really sloppy affair for the Lakers, but an important win in the fact of at least they get to rest a little bit before they take on Memphis.
Yeah, big game for Dennis Schroeder off the bench with 21 points. Rui Hachimura was good in this game. He closed down the stretch. He was in there for Jared Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's defense was great, but the offense was just killing him. And Anthony Davis was spectacular. I thought 24 points, 15 rebounds, couple of steals, had three blocks, but just huge minutes for him the entire game and just came up, especially down the stretch. I thought he asserted himself physically in overtime. And with Karl-Anthony Towns having five fouls, it was just easy for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, just easy to attack there. I thought the most interesting thing and the smartest move Darvin Ham made all game was removing D'Angelo Russell out of the lineup in the fourth quarter and benched him almost for the entire game. He was in on that last play that Schroeder scored on. But like, because D'Lo was awful, Dave, awful. I thought he was playing for the Wolves. He was so bad in the way he was playing. It was just like, this is kind of ridiculous. But that was probably the biggest play that Darvin Ham made in this game for the Lakers and to push them forward.
LeBron had 30 in this game. It was not a gave really good 40. Half. Yeah, and it was not a good 40, first half for him. I thought his defense was better in the second half, but not by much. This was a weird LeBron game. I mean, this maybe not a weird game because he's old, but he looked old in this game, I thought, Mo. Just a step slow. Kyle Anderson really just took advantage of him in the first half of this game when Kyle Anderson was having a good game, but I just didn't like what I saw out of LeBron. I felt like, you know, a lot of people are going to say he kept him in it offensively, but I thought he kind of messed up their flow at times in the first half.
Yeah, there were times where he would come off of a screen or a dribble handoff where if he just went through the screen, he had an opportunity to drive. And he was driving a little bit more in this game than we're used to seeing. But a lot of times he would come off and stop and the defense would catch up to him. There's a lot of things about that. I think defensively, he was just not good. And I think that's just something the Lakers have to get used to is he's just not going to be that guy defensively as he used to. Made some big blocks here and there, but ultimately he's not going to be a guy you can really count on. I mean, shoot, he was finished minus 14 in the plus minus. And I know we don't go nuts on the individual stuff in plus minus, but that's a pretty big number for LeBron in a game that they win.
Yep. And now they move on. They'll face the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round of the playoffs. And the Timberwolves will face the winner of the 9-10 matchup, which is tomorrow night. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Mo, we should probably move on to the early game, which a little less complicated than the late game. The Atlanta Hawks handled their business against the Miami Heat 116-105. They nearly blew a huge lead, but they held on to just move on and face the Boston Celtics, which is not a fun task for them. But they had, at one point, a 24-point lead in this game. And the story of this game, Mo, is that the Miami Heat were just too damn small for the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, I mean, forget handled. They got manhandled. Like, that was the thing. The Hawks came in there and were the much more physical team. Listen, they got, I'm reading the numbers, 22 offensive rebounds to 6 offensive rebounds for the Heat. That led to a 26-6 disparity in second chance points. The Heat had 46 points in the paint. The Hawks had 64. Like, they just got brutalized in the paint. Every time the Heat came up with a stop, they gave up an offensive rebound, and that led to a bucket for the Hawks. And I felt like this is one of those things where every time there was a run, that's what killed them, and that's what stopped their run for a lot of this game, which kind of stopped any chance of them to come back, because they were threatening to make a comeback throughout the course of this game. And, you know, Kyle Lowry did a great job keeping them in it, but they just could not close.
I love the way that the Hawks started this game. I mean, they had 11 assists in the first quarter. Trey was plus 10 in his minutes, was really calm and patient, I thought. Probing, looking for guys and trying to get them going early on. They had 18 assists in the first half. They started out, they played faster than what we're used to, Mo. And I know we criticize Trae Young a lot for what he does away from the ball, but I did think his activity in the first half of this game, he was using his gravity, drawing away defense, and they got success playing faster and him not standing still.
Yeah, I thought this was a good game. And they were putting him in actions like the Spain pick and roll, where he was the backside screener and then popping out. I thought like they did some smart things there, you know, to really kind of get the defense moving and get him involved in the offense, even when he didn't have the ball, you know. And early on, a lot of just great dishes off the pick and roll, making opportunities for other guys, hitting Collins for a three, things like that, getting a lot of movement and just actions, which is something that's been missing from the Hawks offense throughout the course of the game. And I mean, he didn't shoot it all that well. I mean, 1-8 from 3, but ultimately, like, just he controlled the game well enough. And I don't think the Heat did a good enough job attacking him defensively. And I think those kinds of things worked perfectly in the Hawks' favor.
Yeah, but he was good inside, and his little floater game was on point completely in this game. And it opened up a lot of stuff for their offense. But I mentioned it was a game about their bigs, and it was. Clint Capela dominated in this game. He had 21 rebounds. He was all over the place, Mo. He was getting deflections, just making plays. He had a play where he grabbed an offensive rebound. He gets kind of bumped, was falling out of bounds, finds a cutting Bogdan Bogdanović for a dunk. I mean, this was a play where you just see a combination of skill, athleticism, conditioning. It was late in the game. And a little bit of will there, where he just was determined not to make a bad pass. But all of their bigs were excellent at 50-50 balls, second chance stuff, hustle plays. Jalen Johnson and Onyeka Okwangwu off the bench combined for 29 points, Mo.
Yeah, no, they were just unbelievable. But I want to go back to Capella because I think he set the tone defensively for them. He had back-to-back blocks on Jimmy Butler at the rim in the first half. And I think from there, it was almost like, no, we're here. We're locking up tonight. And that's a change for the Hawks. The Hawks are not a good defensive team in any way, shape, or form. And I think that was kind of setting the tone there. And then, like you said, Okongwu and Johnson coming in off the bench kind of kept the vibe going across the board. Okongwu had a monster block on Bam Adebayo that led to a jump ball. And I think just in general, they just crushed the Heat. Like, it was pretty impressed. To be honest, I didn't think the Hawks had much of a chance. I thought the Heat were going to win this game. I was pretty impressed with the way the Hawks came out and were just so damn physical.
Yeah, and the Heat just could not find any offense whatsoever. Jimmy Butler, 6 of 19. Mo, I don't remember Jimmy Butler missing this many shots in the paint in a game ever. But he was
not even in the paint, in the rim, at the dominated. Rim. At yeah. the rim, it was some of these were layups. There were times where he got fouled where I'm like, that's normally an and one for Jimmy. Like, he just got completely crushed. And then there were situations where then he would second guess himself. There was a play where earlier they scored on an empty side pick and roll and put Trae Young in the action. The next time down they run it, Gabe Vincent hits him with a pass that's a wide open jumper. He passes up on it, gets himself into trouble. Hands Kyle Lowry a hand grenade, and then that shot gets blocked by DeJounte Murray. The next possession down for the Hawks, it's a Trae Young three. That's a massive swing for them, and those are the things that kill runs.
Yeah, Bam Adebayo just didn't do much for them offensively. Did have a really nice game on the defensive end, three steals, couple of blocks, but just, again, they just weren't big enough. He needed another big body down there to help him out. The hero of this game for Miami kept him in it. Was Kyle Lowry somehow scored 33 points. That's the season high for him. The most he'd scored was 28 points previously this season. Was 6 of 9 from 3. Had 19 first half points, Mo. And went on a little 5-0 run at the end of the first half that I thought kept them in it going into the second half. Because the Hawks threatened to blow this thing out going into halftime.
This should have been a blowout, but then Lowry came in and really stepped up, like, for the first time since he's been in a Miami uniform at this point, it feels. And that 5-0 run was massive, Dave, even though they ended up fouling Young at the end of the half and giving him free throws. That still was a big possession just because it got them going, because it led to Tyler Hero going on a bit of a run to start the second half. And that's where you started to feel like, okay, maybe the Heat are going to be able to creep their way back into this game. Lowry couldn't do anything else. He was absolutely phenomenal. I think this one rests on the shoulders of Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. Like, those guys got to step up offensively. Like, they carry the massive load for this team, and they weren't able to perform tonight.
Well, the Miami Heat await the winner of the 9-10 matchup in the East. And I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for the Chicago Bulls in that one, Mo. How about you?
I have no rooting interest. I hate every team.
There you go. Well, that's going to do it for tonight's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for joining us on YouTube. And if you don't already follow us over there, go and find the Athletic NBA Show. Subscribe to our page. Check it out. We're going to be live with the Daily Ding every night during the playoffs and maybe even next year, too. We'll see how it goes. But for Mo to Keel,
making promises, Dave.
That's right. We don't like to do that. For Mo to Keel, I'm Dave DeFore, and this has been the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. Mo, let's get out of here.
Ding, ding. We don't have the exit button.
I am. I've been looking for it. I had to find it. I literally was like, where is this?
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.